Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
bromine. I've just decided I'm going to do a few scientists, a few elements in detail. And as I do the elements, I realise my memory's fading on a few, you know, I know I'm going through the periodic table a few times. I've got sort of, just the words escape me for some of the elements. There you go, isn't it? Tough going through here. So I'm going to read this article by Lawrence Knight, BBC News from September 2014. Who's afraid of bromine? Then I'll do another episode of the Wikipedia article on bromine. So bromine's a halogen element. It's after it's krypton, before it is this oxygen, it's for the moon, tellurides, that's really getting to me. But I'm just going to read it and then I'll go back and research and refresh my memory on it. It's one of these strange things. You realise that you're never going to speak to other people again or teach other people again, but you just want to keep the information fluid in your head. So there's this beautiful picture here at the start, the Science Photo Library, of a bottle of bromine. And the bromine goes up as a vapour and descends, and bromine is famous in Mountain Dew. That's brominated vegetable oil. But bromine is basically the way they get the sort of oily drinks of Fanta and other things used to have. I know Gatorade used to be in it. It's to get that sort of drink and oil, so you can drink water and oil together, mix it together. So bromine would, oil would normally stick as an oil on its top, but allowed it to be suspended in it. Gives that yummy, yummy taste of a juice, an artificial juice flavour. Okay, now, bromine's sinister, looks sinister, something like you might find in Frankenstein, Dr. Frankenstein's work branch. But are people sometimes too hard on compounds that are made from element 35 in the periodic table? So you've learned the first 20 elements, then you, after that, the first 20, there's 10 elements as you go across, and then there's gallium, germanium, gallium, germanium, arsenic, selenium, there you go, bromine and krypton, selenium, and I've got to remember the element above that, tellurium, there you go. Okay, as you read this article, you're probably surrounded by bromine in your chair, sofa, you are sitting on it, in the carpet, in your floor, the curtains, in your windows, perhaps even the walls of your house, and the computers whose screens you are staring at. Well, isn't that a beautiful way of doing it? Of course, bromine was famously added to the food of the British Army in Africa, apparently, as an anti-erectile property, but I don't know whether it is. Okay. All these are likely to contain unnatural substances such as polybrominated diphenyl ether or hexabrominated chlorodecane. Bromine-based chemicals have also found their way into food and drinking water. Indeed, until recently, they were in drinks like Fanta and Gatorade. They're still in Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew was reformulated with caffeine, we found. Some of these chemicals have been shown to be dangerous to human health and have been withdrawn, yet bromine industry claims to be the victim of chemophobia and irrational public prejudice against chemicals born out of ignorance and misinformation. Bromine saves lives, they point out. There's no denying the pure bromine is extremely unpleasant. It derives its word from stench. It's particularly vicious material. Just ask Andrea Stella, University College of London. Yeah, so that is interesting about bromine. It means it's one of the stinky elements. I think it is osmium is another smelly element. It's named after the smell. When I was at school, nobody warned me about how nasty this stuff was, the chemistry professor ruefully recalls, as he pours some of the toxic red liquid into a beaker where it sits under a smog-like haze of heavy brown vapour. I managed to spill a bit of bromine liquid on my back of my hand, and it burned through my skin and left a long scab for weeks to heal. Bromine is one of the halogens, a group of elements that occupies the penultimate column of the periodic table. It is probably the least well-known. Chlorine, known for swimming pools. Iodine for antiseptics. Fluorine for toothpaste. Or fluorine, yeah. Being a halogen, bromine atoms are one electron short of a complete outer shell, which makes them highly reactive. Well, there you go. It means they've got a strong electronegativity. Readily bonding with other atoms. That's why pure bromine is so dangerous to the handle, and that's why you should never come across it in nature. Instead, bromine is found in highly unreactive bromine salts, just the same way as the poisonous green grass of chlorine is found in commonly sodium chloride table salt. To illustrate the point, Andrea drops some aluminium foil into the beaker of bromine. It bursts into intense flame. When the flame burns out, all that's left is a residue of aluminium and bromine salts. Gee, that would be a nice thing too. It was a naturally occurring salt that the two chemists independently discovered bromine 2 centuries ago. The German Carl Jacob Ludwig in the mineral water of 1825, and the Frenchman Antoine Ballard from a salt marsh seaweeds in 1826. So one of the things I don't quite get, you know, it'll be interesting. I think bromine was... isolated as a chemical by Davy, but just get this straight. I think he did it. Let's see if he says this. Both use chlorine gas to displace the bromine atoms from the salt solution, producing characteristic acrid fumes of the new elements. Today, bromine is extracted from an industrial scale from the salt lakes, that especially rich element, above all the Dead Sea. Well, there you go, there's the Dead Sea's. Interested. I'm pretty sure Davy had an important aspect of doing it. So this is one of the beautiful things. Now, I've got a picture of the Dead Sea. Now, one of the things that they show here is Jerusalem and something pretty much the size of the Dead Sea is these Dead Sea works. So they've got the Dead Sea. So they've got a picture, and this is truly... a salt works. So the Dead Sea is 40 kilometres long and about 12 kilometres across. So you could possibly barely see the bank from one side to the other. Yeah, but there's sort of a generic thing, and you can see the little water going down into it. It looks pretty up. But then there's up from the Dead Sea, evaporation ponds, is pretty much. The Dead Sea is the highest concentration in the world, bromine, says Elan of Israel Chemicals, ICL. Oh, gee. Israel Chemicals, I thought ICL was Imperial Chemicals, but it's ICL. At the company's bromine factories, the world's biggest. This is the gift of nature. Like Saudi Arabia has the gift of oil, we have the gift of bromine, he claims. And it will last thousands of years, far longer than the Middle Eastern oil. ICL draws water from the Red Sea into a vast network of evaporation ponds. And when I say vast, it is vast. It's 20 kilometres, easily 30 kilometres long, and varies from 10 kilometres wide and across. It's pretty amazing to watch it. Much of this toxic end product is then shipped over the world in gigantic lead-lined tanks. Atlant insists they have never had a spillage yet. As hazardous to human health as the elemental bromine is, it's actually the products it goes into that have caused the real harm. The earliest use of bromine was medicine. Some bromine salts, notably potassium bromide, was found as a natural sedative and was prescribed in the 19th century as a remedy for epilepsy. However, they had a curious side effect. They dampened libido. Oh, there you go. This is the entire thing. This is what they said, that they fed these bromine salts to the British soldiers. I wonder if they have this comment here, because we were often told that they're putting bromine in our food when our libido went down on army camp, which is sort of natural, I suppose. Um, um, A common misconception at the time that epilepsy was brought on by excessive masturbation. This is a side effect that also lies behind the urban myth that bromine was added to the tea of prisoners of World War I soldiers in order to reduce their sexual urges. Well, there you go. For most of the 20th century, the main use of bromine was something now known to have been seriously damaging to public health. When lead first started being added to petrol to improve engine performance, it was found that deposits build up, eventually clogging the engine. The solution was to add brominated chemicals to the petrol. As the fuel burnt, the bromine combined with the lead, producing lead bromide. This readily passed out through the exhaust, but of course proceeded to spread the poisonous heavy metal throughout the cities. Wow! Oh, there you go. That's something I didn't know about bromine and its effect of lead poisoning. It's how the lead got out as a particle. Stop putting a build-up. Oh, wow, that's a new thing. Leaded and brominated petrol is no more, but the biggest modern use of bromine, accounting for 41% of the market, has also sparked controversy. Well, there you go, isn't that absolutely spack bang amazing? Imagine you're watching your television and halfway through the soccer game, your TV catches fire, says ICL Deputy President Anat Tal, head office of Berisha, southern Israel, and you've 3 minutes to escape. What do? You just run. Now imagine this escape time is 5 to 10 times more because inside your TV is a brominated flame retardant. And this is the story of flame retardants. As the fire is a self-perpetuating chemical reaction in which high temperature encourages fuel to combine with oxygen and air, further raising the temperature in the process, bromine disrupts the chemical reaction. Because bromine itself is so hyperreactive, in effect, it Q-jumps the oxygen and rebonds with the fuel, rendering it inert. Isn't that beautiful? I don't know whether that's true. Brominated fire retardants crop in a surprising number of places. From a bag, and it produces Mary Poppins style, a series of products. White beads are mixed into plastic castings, circuit boards, TVs, computers, fluffy yellow pillows, stuffings that refuses to catch fire. Blue polystyrene bricks are used in the cavity walls of insulation of homes. Isn't that amazing? So, I was just wondering where antinomy was used as a fire retardant. Oh, just lots of itches here. So what's the problem with these products? Well, take for example polybrominated ethers, PBDEs, which are used widely to prevent materials from melting no longer. It's pretty dangerous. It gets into the human body, explains the chemical industry analyst Laura Stell of Industrial Minerals. It can cause cancer, developmental disorders, thyroid problems. Or how about hexabromocyclodecane, HBCD, the chemical in its blue cavity wall insulation? It is set to be banned in the EU for the next year after an academic study in Texas found that tiny amounts of the stuff were getting into some supermarket foods. Retardants are organic molecules, an entirely different class of chemicals from bromine salts that can take years to decompose. And although they should be tied up inside plastics and other materials, they do get free and tend to accumulate through the food chain, meaning the top predators, such as humans, face particular risks of these chemicals slowly building up in their bodies. Isn't that just amazing? So, it's leaded brominated petrol. That's something new I've worked out. This highlights the unavoidable problems of the chemical industry. Much of what they do is still in the learning process. It often takes many years of long-term risks inherent in particular products to emerge, yet it's also important to get these risks in perspective. So far, there are no known cases of brominated fire retardants actually causing anyone major health problems. They are being banned because of the potential hazard they pose. Meanwhile, the chemicals we have undoubtedly saved people from the real risk of burning to death in their own homes, although there are some dispute whether the amounts of thousands per year is claimed by the industry. But Laura Smith says the industry also labours under another problem, chemophobia. For example, she cites brominated vegetable oils, BVOs, which was commonly added to multivitamin soft drinks as Fanta, Gatorade, and I'd say is still added to Mountain Dew. Without BVO for a substitute, the orange colour would gravitate to the bottom of the bottle, leaving the top half of clear. Something familiar would happen, similar to happen to the flavour. I think the opposite is that the oil, the brominated, is heavy. I think you've got that wrong, quite honestly. Some beautiful pictures here. Bromine's got a beautiful colour. In 2013, BuzzFeed published an article with the title, 8 Foods We Eat in the US That Are Banned in Other Countries. The list included BVOs banned by the EU and Japan, which claimed linked to major organ system damage, birth defects, growth problems, schizophrenia, and hearing loss. Pepsi and Coca-Cola insisted BVO was safe. Nonetheless, a petition to change.org gathered and 200,000 signatures, and both companies have since stopped using the chemicals. Was the campaign against BVO rational? The chemical blogger Derek Lowe points out that few people are known to have suffered health problems, none of which were quite like those listed in BuzzFeed, were drinking the vast amounts of BVO colouring drinks in order of 2 to 3 litres a day. Another controversial case, according to Laura Sillett, is connected to the fracking. Is with fracking. In 2011, teams' tests of drinking water wells in Pennsylvania found increased levels of bromide salts, the same kind that stuff has supposedly made people prefer an early night with a hot bottle of water linked to fracking. This is the libido killing thing, linked to fracking activity at Malus Shale deposit. Bromine salts were widely used in the oil and gas drilling. Being near the bottom of the periodic table, bromine atoms are heavy. Dissolve its salts in water and you get exceptionally heavy brine, which can be used to stabilise the high-pressure wells and stop them collapsing. You do that with getting nanoparticles to create a intermediate magneto salt. In ICL, Annette complains that her company hears via the media and NGOs almost on a daily basis that all kinds of things that are not scientifically proven. While she points out tourists are happy to come and bathe in the sea with the world's highest concentration of bromine at 0.05% because it's healthy mineral salts. Criticisms sting the industry that feels the actual doing a lot of good in the world. Besides fire retardants, one of the biggest new uses of bromine comes from capturing mercury in the coal burn for power stations, which is much the same way that it's used to capture lead in petrol burned to the car engine, except this time it actually stops the emission of poisonous metal into the air. And it laments the bromine industry has not done a good job in PR. In educating people that there are chemicals that save your lives and keep you safe. Well, that's an interesting thing on bromine, isn't it? It certainly does not help that so many chemicals they produce have a terrifyingly long alien names. Polybrominated diphenyl ether and hexabromer chlorododecans, for example. Put it another way, would you drink a coffee if you knew it contained 1,3,7-dimethylpurine-2,6? Is that caffeine? That is caffeine. Essentially, if you added a spoonful of 2R, 3R, 4S, 5S, 6R, 2S, 3S, 4S, what's that? Oh, okay. Well, that's also known as sugar. There you go. So I'm going to finish that podcast, and then the next one will be bromine, the Wikipedia article. I'm doing bromine, the Wikipedia article, so I'm going to improve my knowledge of this particular element. Speaking to anyone, teaching anyone, just podcasting, getting my knowledge up and reading. So I've learnt a bit about bromine. Recently found reading a BBC news article that bromine had to be added to petrol with the lead to make sure the lead didn't build up in the engine and got into our environment. It's amazing. I'm sure it was discovered by Davy, but you know, identified by people, but actually identified as a separate element by Davy. Okay, bromine is a chemical element, symbol Br, and atomic number 35. It's the third lightest halogen. Is a fuming reddish-brown liquid at room temperature and evaporates readily to form a similarly coloured gas. Its properties are thus intermediate between chlorine and hydrogen. Isolated independently by Chicken's Carl Jacob in 1825 and Antoine Jerome Ballard in 1826. Its name is derived from the ancient Greek bromos, meaning stench, erected in the chart, disagreeable smell. Elementary bromine is very rich and does not occur freely in nature, but its colourless, soluble, crystalline mineral halide salts analogous to table salt. While it's rather rare in the Earth's crust, the high solubility of bromine has caused accumulation in the oceans. Commercially, the element is extracted from brine pools, mostly in the United States, Israel, and China. The mass of bromine in the ocean is about 1/300 of that of chlorine. So it's, you know, it's vanishing small. I suppose it's chlorine. At high temperatures, organobromine compounds readily dissociate into free bromine atoms, a process that stops free radical and chemical chain reactions. Okay, so when you heat it up, you get bromines up, and the bromines, you need the free radicals, the stuff of the flame, the actual flame. This affects many organobromine compounds useful as fire retardants. More than half the bromine produced worldwide each year is put to that purpose. The same property causes ultraviolet sunlight to dissociate volatile ultrabromic compounds in the atmosphere to yield free bromine and causing ozone depletion. As a result, many organobromine compounds such as pesticide methyl dibromine is no longer used. Bromine compounds are still used in well drilling fluids and photographic films as an immediate in the manufacture of organic chemicals. So, that your chemical bromine fixing is pretty amazing. A large amount of bromine salts are toxic from the action of soluble bromine ion causing bromism. However, a clear biological road for bromine ion and polybromous acid has recently been elucidated, and it now appears that bromine is an essential trace element for humans. Its role of biological organic bromine compounds in sea life, this is algae, has been known for much longer. As the pharmaceutical, the simple bromine Br- has an inhibitory effect on the central nervous system. The bromine salt were once a major medical sedative. Before the replacement of shorter-acting drugs, they retain a niche use as antiseptics. Bromine was discovered independently by two chemists, Carl Jacob Ludwig and Antoine Ballard, in 1825 and 26, respectively. Ludwig isolated bromine from a chemical water spring in his home, known as Bad Kulmach, in 1855. But Ludwig used a solution of mineral salts saturated with chlorine. Saturated with chlorine and extracted bromine and with diethyl ether. After evaporation, the ether abrounded the bromine with the liquid. As a sample of his work, he applied to physicians in the laboratory of Leopold Gmelin in Heidelberg. The publication of the results were delayed as Ballard published his results first. Oh god, that would be so shitful. Ballard found bromine chemicals in the ash of seaweed in the salt marshes of Montpellier. I don't understand what this whole Davy story. The seaweed was used to produce iodine, but also contained bromine. Ballard distilled the bromine from the solution of seaweed ash and saturated it with chlorine. Properties resulting substance were intermediately between those of chlorine and iodine. But he tried to prove that the substance was iodine monochloride, ICL. But after failing to do so, he was sure that he found a new element and named it murad, and derived from the Latin muria, or brine. Isn't that amazing? So, was iodine discovered by Davy? I'll have to get iodine as a salt. After the French chemist Louis Nicolas Venner and Jacques Thérard and Joseph Louis Gay Lussac approved the experiments of the young pharmacist Ballard, the results were presented at the lecture at Académie de Science and published in the Annales Chimie Physique. In his publication, Ballard stated that he had changed the name from murad to bromine as a proposal of M. Argard. Bromine derives from the Greek stench. Of other sources, behind the French chemist physicist Joseph Louis Gay Lussac suggested the name bromine from the characteristic smell of vapors. Bromine was produced, was not in large quantities until in 1858, when it was discovered that the salt deposits in Stassfurt enabled its production as a byproduct of potash. So this is all, I'm pretty sure this is all things. I'd be really interested if I've got this all wrong as bromine, and I've confused iodine, stored in iodine, bromine. Apart from some minor medical applications, the first commercial use was daguerreotype. This is bromine, silver bromides. In 1840, bromide was discovered, had the same advantage over the previously used iodine vapor to create a light-sensitive silver halide layer of daguerreotype, which is photography. Potassium bromide and sodium bromide were used as anticonvulsants and sedatives in the late 19th centuries, but were gradually suspected of superseded by chloral hydrate and by barbiturates. In the early years of World War I, bromine compounds were such as zolibrom were used as a poison gas. Wow. Properties. Bromide is the third halogen, being a non-metal group of 17 in the periodic table. Its properties are thus similar to the fluorine and chlorine and iodine, and the trend to be intermediate between the two neighbouring halogens, chlorine and iodine. Bromine has an electron configuration of argon, D shells, S shells, and all but one of the P shells filled up. With seven electrons in the fourth and outermost shell acting as valence electrons. Wow. Okay, like all halogens, it is thus one electron short of a full octet, and hence a strong oxidizing agent reacting with many elements in order to complete its outer shell. Well, at school chemistry, it's not really talking about electronegativity in the way that I would like to. Corresponding to periodic table trends, it has intermediate electronegativity between chlorine and iodine, and is less reactive than chlorine and more reactive than iodine. What I was going to say is that the electronegativity has got nothing to do with electron affinity. Electron affinity is how reactive it is. Electron negativity is the polarization between bonds. So I can really confuse them. Conversely, bromine ion is weaker reducing agent than iodine, but stronger than chlorine. These similarities led chlorine and bromine together, being classified as solutional triads by Wolfgang Dobadin, whose work foreshadowed the periodic law in chemical alphabets. Its intermediate atomic radius between chlorine and iodine, and thus leads many of its atomic properties to be similar to the intermediate value between chlorine and iodine. This is first ionization electron affinity. Why did I say that? Enthalpy of association of diamond molecules, ionic radius, bond length, and volatility of bromine acetylants. It's very penetrating, choking, unpleasant colour. Unpleasant odour. All four stable halogens experience intermolecular van der Waal forces of attraction, and their strength increases together with the number of electrons among the homonuclear atoms in the halogen molecule. So this is that it's got sufficient electrons there that they actually they strike upon a wave function where they just happen to be in synchrony between each other. There's all van der Waal bonds. Okay, well, I'll agree with that. Okay. Thus, the melting and boiling points of bromine are intermediate between chlorine and iodine. As a result, the increasing molecular weight of halogens down the group, intensity and heats of those chlorine and iodine, although their heats of vaporization are fairly low, leading to high volatility thanks to their diatomic molecular structure. The halogen darken in colour as the group descends. Fluorine is fairly pale, yellow-gas chlorine is greenish, bromine is reddish-brown, volatile liquid melts at minus 7 degrees Celsius and boils at 58 degrees Celsius. Iodine is a stinky, shiny black solid and thus trends occur because the wavelength of visible light absorbed by the halogen increases down the group. Well, indeed, it's not saying much. Specifically, the colour of the halogen, such as bromine, results from the electron transition between a highest occupied pi G orbital. So this is Gerard means even orbital. It doesn't tell you about pi orbital. It means it's a P shape. Now, the interesting thing is that it's a molecule. It's got molecular orbitals. And the lowest vacant antibond pi sigma U anti. You can only go from U to G, Ongerad and Gerard. So pi G, so pi and sigma is S and P, but for a molecular one. The colour fades at low temperatures, so the solid bromine is pale yellow. Oh, that's interesting. Like chlorine and iodine, solid bromine crystallizes in the orthorhombic crystal system, this lattice of Br2 molecules. The Br2 distance is 227 picometers. Close to gaseous BrB, the distance is 228 picometers. So a picometer is a billionth of a meter. Is a trillionth of a meter. So let's do nanometer is a billionth of a meter, a picometer is a trillionth of a meter. And so a hydrogen atom is 52 picometers radius, or 100 picometers from side to side. So what are they saying? Bond length. I don't know what that means by the bond length. Is that the actual distance between nuclei? The actual atom is quite big. So, so you'd only fit a few bromines per nanometer. The structure means that bromine is a very poor conductor of electricity, with the conductivity around 5 by 10 to the minus 13. Ohms per centimeter, just below melting point. Although it's better than the essentially undetectable conductivity of chlorine. At a pressure of 55 kPa, that's 400.5 million times the atmospheric pressure, bromine undergoes insulator to metal transition. At 75 kPa, it changes from a face-centered orthorhombic structure. At 100 gigapascals, it changes to a body-centered orthorhombic monatomic form. Oh, well, there you go, monatomic. It no longer goes, which you can sort of imagine. Wow, is that not beautiful? Oh, that is the most beautiful, beautiful bromine. This is a bromine vial, and it's in a resin cube, and you could not ask for anything more sexy than that. That is the most beautiful bromine element I've seen there. Antoine Belliard discovered the French froggies, and the Germans were just too politically locked up themselves. So that's an interesting thing. So the picometer, a nucleus is a femtometer, one femtometer across. Hydrogen is 100 picometers across, and there's 1,000 picometers in a nanometer. Isotopes. Bromine has two stable isotopes, 79 and 81. Because these are the only two natural isotopes, Br 79 making up 51%, bromine and 81 making up the remaining 49. Both have a nuclear spin of 3-on-2. They've got an odd number. They both have an odd number of protons and neutrons. And they've got 3-on-2. So that's interesting. A nuclear spin of 3-on-2. That means that it can have a really complicated projection. Right, now that would catamaran pigeons, because it can have 3-on-2, half, minus a half, and minus 3-on-2. Now, the strange is, this is what they say, it's got a nuclear spin of 3-on-2, that is a nuclear spin number of 3-on-2, and it has a measurable length of 3-on-2 H-bar, but its actual length is, what is it, 3-on, the square root of 15-on-4, it's slightly larger than that. Relatively, the 1-to-1 distribution of the two isotopes in nature is helpful for the identification of bromine-containing compounds using mass spectroscopy. Other bromine isotopes are all radioactive, with half-lives too short to occur in nature. Of these, the most important are Br 80 and let's see, this is interesting. Br 80, T half life is 17.7 minutes. Br 80 metastable. So there you go. You can have the a metastable nucleus. You can have lines in front of it, and that's 4.42 hours. And Br 82, which has got 35 hours. Okay, sorry, this is a small break. I just had to take a phone call. I'll be back talking about it. So bromine has two isotopes, and the other isotopes have got different lifetimes. I don't know how they can produce. They may produce by neutron activation of natural bromine. So you add a bromine in and you produce it. The most stable bromine isotope, 77, half-life of 57 hours. The primary decay mode of isotopes is lighter than bromine-79 is electron capture of isotopes of selenium. Okay. That of isotopes heavier than bromine-81 is beta decay isotopes of krypton. There you go. And bromine 80 may decay to either bromine, selenium, or krypton. So it's interesting that the bromine have an odd number of protons, and overall it means it's got an even number of neutrons to come across. Chemistry and compounds. Bromine is intermediate in reactivity between chlorine and iodine, and is one of the most reactive elements. Bond energies of bromine tend to be lower than those of chlorine, but higher than those of iodine. And bromine is a weaker oxidizing agent of chlorine, but stronger than that of iodine. This can be seen with standard electrode potentials, X2, X- couples. So F is 2.8 volts. Chlorine is 1.3 volts. Bromine is 1.0 volts. Iodine is 0.6 volts. At approximately plus 0.3 volts. I don't know what it means. Bromination often leads to higher oxidation states than iodination, but lower and equal oxidation states to chlorination. Bromine tends to react with compounds including MM, MH, MC bonds in the form of MBR bonds. Don't know what that means overall. Hydrogen bromide. The simplest compound of bromide is hydrogen bromide. It's mainly used in production of inorganic bromides and alkyl bromides, such as catalysts for many reactions in organic chemistry. Industrially, it is mainly produced by a reaction of hydrogen gas with bromine gas at 200 to 400 degrees C with a platinum catalyst. However, reduction of bromine with red phosphorus is a more practical way to produce hydrogen bromide in the laboratory. So I've got some phosphorus, some water, and some bromine gas, and it gives to some bromine, hydrogen bromine, and bromic acid. And then bromic acid plus water plus bromine gas, it reduces again to reduce more phosphoric acid. There you go. So you either use bromine or phosphoric acid. At room temperature, hydrogen bromine is a colourless gas, like all hydrogen halides apart from hydrogen fluoride, since hydrogen cannot form a strong hydrogen bonds to the large and only mildly electronegative bromine atom. However, weak hydrogen bonding is present in solid crystalline hydrogen bromide at low temperature, similar to hydrogen fluoride structure, before disorder begins to prevail and the temperature is raised. Aqueous hydrogen bromide is known as hydrobromic acid, with a strongly acidic, that's minus 9, yes, a kPa. Because hydrogen bonds of bromine are so weak to inhibit dissociation. HBr water system also involves many hydrates. HBr and OH3, so you can have oxygens, waters, up to 6 waters, which are essentially salty bromine ions and hydronium ions. Hydroboric acid forms an azeotrope at boiling temperature at 124, I don't know what azeotrope means, 124 degrees Celsius, and 47.3 grams of bromine per solution. Thus, hydroboric acid cannot be concentrated beyond this point of distillation. This is interesting. I'm just really trying to think what I can sort of remember that in chemistry, but I'll have to remember that. So, if I could possibly remember the azeotrope. So, as azeotrope, so this is the most stable form. So, I just got to really remember that one. Azeotrope. So, that's, I'm trying to burn that into my brain to read about that. But I'll essentially forget it. Oh, I hate that idea, my brain being such a sieve. Unlike hydrogen fluoride and hydrous liquid hydrogen bromide, it's difficult to work with as a solvent because the boiling point is low. It has a small liquid range, its dielectric contents is low and does not dissociate appreciably into HBr+, H2RB+, and HBr2 ions. The latter, in any case, is much less stable than bifluoride, HF2 minus, due to the very weak hydrogen bonding between the hydrogen and bromine. Though its salts, through its salts, with very large weakly polarizing cations, such as cesium plus or Nr4R, is any of your organic radicals. So you've got to remember that NH4 is a inorganic version of a metal. It's because nitrogen has got low electron negativity, electron affinity. It's almost got no electron affinity. By the time you add the hydrogen in it, it's basically a metal. Anhydrous hydrogen bromide is a poor solvent. only able to dissolve small molecular compounds such as nitrous, chlorine, phenol, or salts with very low lattice energies such as tetraalkyl ammonium hydride. So let's read this one again. So the liquid bromide, hydrogen bromide, which I think he said was an azeotrope. Okay, other binary bromides. Nearly all elements in the periodic table form binary bromides, with the exceptions are decidedly in the majority and stem in each case from one of three causes. Extreme inertness and reluctance to participate in chemical reactions, such as noble gases, with the exception of xenon, which has a very unstable xenon dibromide. Extreme nuclear instability hampering chemical investigations before decay and transmutation. Many of the heaviest elements beyond bismuth, and having electronegativity higher than bromine, oxygen, nitrogen, fluorine, and chlorine. So the resultant binary compounds formerly not bromides, but rather oxide nitrates, fluorides, chlorides, are bromine. Nonetheless, nitrogen tribromide is named as a bromide as analogous to the other nitrogen hadrides. So there's nothing really in that. It's nothing surprising, except if it's less, if you've got things which are more electronegative, it's just the naming convention goes across for it. Bromination of metals with Br2 tends to yield low oxidation states than chlorine, so it doesn't rip as many hydrogens metals off. When a variety of oxidation states are available, bromine can be made by reaction with an element or its oxide, hydroxide, or carbonate with hydrobromic acid, and when dehydrated by mildly high temperatures, combined with either low temperature or anhydrous hydrogen bromide gas. These methods work best when the bromide product is stable to hydrolysis. Otherwise, possibilities include high temperature, oxidative bromination of elements with bromine or hydrogen bromide, high temperature bromination with metal oxide or other halide bromides, a volatile metal carbon tetrabromide or organic bromide, for example, niobium. Niobium 5 oxide reacts with carbon tetrabromide. So you can imagine that this is just like you've got chloroform, this is bromoform, at 370 degrees to form niobium 5 bromide. another method of halogen exchange in the presence of excess halogenating agent, for example, iron trichloride and boron tribromide in excess gets you the boron trichloride coming off and the bromine attaching to the iron. When lower bromide is wanted, either a higher halide may be reduced using halogen or a metal reducing agent, or thermal decomposition, or disproportion may be used as followed. So this is tungsten, pentabromide plus aluminium, and a thermal gradient produces aluminium bromate. And EU, what does EU stand for as an element? I've forgotten what EU stand for. It's not erbium. And tantalum bromides. Most bromides of the pre-transition metals, groups 1, 2, and 3, along with the lanthanides, actinides. It's interesting that they say group 3 is not transition metals, because they're really rare earths. With 2 and 3 oxidation states, are mostly ionic, while non-metals tend to form covalent and molecular bromides, as do metals in higher oxidization states, from plus 3 and above. Silver bromide is very insoluble in water, and that's often used as a quantitative test for bromine. What, I don't know, I've forgotten what EU is, so there's allotropes, so what's they're talking about here, was trying to go back and read that. So it's azeotropes and what EU stands for as an element. Let's see if I can get that. Bromine halides. Halogens form binary diamagnetic interhalogen compounds with stoichiometries. You can have XY up to X7. It's going to be an odd number. The bromine is no exception. Bromine forms monofluoride, monochloride, as well as trifluoride, pentafluoride. Sometimes cationic and anionic derivatives are also characterized. Apart from these, pseudohalides are also known, such as cyanogen bromide, Br cyano, which is, so really, what's it, a CN or a cyanide is actually an equivalent, a synthetic halogen. Isn't that amazing? Bromine tricyanide, so thiocyanides, so it's Br, sulfur, CN, sulfur, carbon, nitrogen, or azide. No, azide is an N3. Now, this really wants me to go back and do it. So, see if I can remember the word again that I wanted to go up here, which is azeotype. Okay, I'll just keep on doing it. So, azeotypes. No, that's next page across here. The pale brown bromine monofluoride, BAF, is unstable at room temperature, disproportionately quickly and irreversibly into bromine and bromine trifluoride, bromine pentafluoride. Thus, it cannot be obtained pure. It must be synthesized by direct reaction of elements or by the comproportionation of bromine and bromine trifluoride at high temperature. Bromine monochloride, BrCl, is a red-brown gas quite readily dissociated reversibly into bromine and chlorine at room temperature, and thus also cannot be obtained pure, although it can be made by the reversible direct reaction of elements in the gas phase or carbon tetrachloride. Bromine monofluoride in ethanol readily leads to monobromination of aromatic compounds, phenol X. Parabromination occurs for X, where the X equals methyl butane or OME, which is a oxygen and a methane. Br, metabromination, occurs for deactivating X equals a CO2 group or a ET, which is COH group, or NO2 group. This is due to the heterofusion of the BrF bond, leading to a rapid electrophilic bromination of Br+. At room temperature, bromine tetrafluoride, BF3, is a straw-coloured liquid. It may be formed directly by fluorinating bromine at room temperature and is purified through distillation. It reacts explosively with water and hydrocarbons, but less violently fluorinating agents such than chlorine trifluoride. It reacts vigorously with boron, carbon, silicon, arsenic, antimony, iodine, sulfur to give fluorides, and so reacts with the most metals and oxides. As such, it is used to oxidize uranium and uranium tetrafluoride in the nuclear industry. Refractory oxides tend to be only partially fluorinated, and here derivatives of K, BrF, and B and BrF, SB, I forgot what SB stands for, remain active. So it's SB and EU, I want to remember, remain active. Bromine trifluoride is a useful aqueous ionizing solvent since it readily dissociates into BrF and BRF plus and BRF 4 minus, and thus conducts electricity. So this is bromine trifluoride. It's useful. Wow, that's interesting. So you can get basically something like that. It has got an iron production. I wonder what happens at the electrode. Bromine pentafluoride, BF5, was first synthesized in 1930. It produced large scale by the direct reaction of bromine with excess fluorine at temperatures higher than 150 degrees. And on a small scale by the fluorination of potassium bromide at 25 degrees C. It is a very vigorous fluorinating agent, although chlorine trifluoride is still more violent. Bromine pentafluoride explodes on reaction with water and fluorinates silicates at 450 degrees C. So bromine is a way of getting your fluorines into things if you want to fluorinate things. Polybromine compounds. Although bibromine is a strong oxidation agent with the highest ionization energy, very strong oxidizers such as peroxidisulfurazochloride, S2O6F2, can oxidize it to form a cherry red Br2+ cation. A few other bromine cations are known, namely Br3+ and a dark brown Br5+. The tribromine anion, Br-, has also been characterized as a single triiodide, as analogous to single triiodide. Bromine oxides are not well characterized as chlorine oxides and iodine oxides, as they are fairly unstable. It was once thought they could not exist at all. Dibromine monoxide is a dark brown solid, which, while reasonably soluble at minus degrees, 60 degrees, decomposes at a melting point at minus 17.5 degrees Celsius, is useful in bromination reactions and may be made from low temperature decomposition of bromine dioxide in vacuum. It oxidizes iodine to iodine peroxide and benzene to 1,4-benzoquinone in alkaline solutions. It gives a hypobromine anion. The so-called bromine dioxide, a pale yellow crystalline solid, may be better formulated as bromine perbrominate, BRO-BRO3-. It is thermally unstable at minus 40 degrees Celsius, violently decomposing into its elements at 0 degrees. Dibromate trioxide, synthetic BRO-BRO2, is also known. It is an anhydride of hypobromous acid and bromic acid. It is a orange crystalline solid and decomposes above 40 degrees Celsius, minus 40 degrees Celsius. If heated too rapidly, it explodes around 0 degrees Celsius. A few other unstable radical oxides are also known. The same poorly characterized oxide, such as bromine pentoxide, tribromine octoxide, and bromine trioxide. The four oxo acids, hypobromous acid, HOBR, and bromous acids, HOBRO, and bromic acid, HOBRO, BRO2-, and the perbromic acid. These are sort of very much the, there's nothing that we know, all these chlorides, this is, you know, all the perchlorates going through. The three different perchlorates that you can add up. Okay. A better study due to their greater stability, although they are only so in aqueous solutions. When their brominate dissolves in aqueous solutions, the following reactions occur. So bromine plus water goes to, it's similar to bubbling chlorine through water. You get these reactions. Hypobromous acid is unstable to disproportionation. The hypobromite ions thus formed, hypobromite is with it's got oxygens with it. This form disproportionate to give bromide and bromate. A bromide is a directly by itself, and bromate is got oxygens. Now you've got sulfide. It's very similar to going through. There are many failed attempts to obtain perbromates and perbromic acid, leading to some rationalizations as to why they should not exist, until 1968, when the anion was first synthesized from excessive from radioactive beta decay of the unstable selenium O24. So that's almost tricking. Today, perbromates are produced by the oxidation of alkaline bromate solutions by fluorine gas. Excess bromate and fluorate are precipitated as sulfur bromate and calcium fluoride. Perbromic solutions may be purified. Perbromate is only fairly inert at room temperature and thus thermodynamically extremely oxidizing, with extremely strong oxidization agent needed to produce it, such as fluorinate and xenon difluoride. The BRO and bond in the BRO4- is fairly weak, which corresponds to the generally reluctance of the 4P elements, arsenic, selenium, and bromine, to attain their group oxidation state, as they come after the Scandard contraction, characterized by poor shielding afforded by the radionodeless 3D orbitals. I sort of understand that. So they've got the D shells in them. They've got the D shells inside it. I sort of can understand that. So they've got these various oxidation states in bromine here. Organobromine compounds, like the other carbon halogen compounds, CBr, is common functional group that forms part of the core of organic chemistry. Forming the compound with this functional group may be considered as organic derivatives of the bromine anion. Due to the difference in electronegativity between bromine, which is 2.96, and carbon, 2.55, the carbon Br bond is fairly electrodeficient and thus electrophilic. The reactivity of the organic bromine compounds resembles but is intermediate between the reactivity of organochlorine and organoiodine compounds. In many familiar applications, organobromines represents a compromise of reactivity with cost. So you can imagine, soup things up, you go through that way. Okay. Yes. The same plant here from space, showing space. Organobromines are typically produced by additive or substitutive bromination with other organic precursors. Bromine itself can be used, but due to toxicity and volatility, safer brominating agents are normally used. The this is, wow, that is the most amazing. The bromoacetamide is a common brominating agent of organic chemistry. Now, this chemical is the most beautiful chemical. It looks as though the oxygen, it's got a five ring of carbon, but the top of the ring is got nitrogen, and to that nitrogen is held a bromine, so that's a beautiful thing. And the oxygen there is pulling, there's two oxygens on either side. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful molecule. Wish I could describe it. Organobromides are the most common organohalides in nature. even though the concentration of bromine is only 0.03% of that of chlorine in seawater. Because of the easy oxidization of bromine is equivalent to Br+, a potent electrophile. The enzyme bromoperoxide catalyzes these reactions. The oceans are estimated to release 1 to 2 million tons of bromoform and 56,000 tons of bromomethane annually. Wow. The old qualitative test for the presence of alkaline functional groups is the alkalines turn brown in aqueous bromine solutions, colours, forming bromohydrin, with some bromoalkanes produced. The reaction passes through a short-lived, strong electrophilic bromium intermediate. This is an example of halogen addition reaction. So, basically, the Br breaks in, your double bonds, your Br hits the double bond and incorporates the molecule. So your double bonds get attacked by your bromine atom. Occurrence and production. Bromine is significantly less abundant in the Earth's crust than chlorine and fluorine, comprising only of 2.5 parts per million of the Earth's crust rocks. So you'd expect that because it takes more neutrons to add up. It makes up 65 parts per million, concentration of one bromine to every 660 chlorine atoms. Salt lakes in brine wells may have high bromine concentration. For example, the Dead Sea contains 0.4% bromine ions. It is from these sources that bromine extraction is most economically feasible. The main source of bromine in the United States and Israel, the element is liberated by halogen exchange using chlorine gas to oxidize Br- to Br2-. So you get your bromine and you bubble through chlorine gas and out comes bromine gas. This is then removed in a blast of steam and air, and then condensed and purified. Today, bromine is transported by large-capacity metal drums or lead-lined tanks that can hold 100 kilograms or even a ton of bromine. The bromine industry is about 1/100 the size of the chlorine industry. Laboratory production is unnecessary because bromine is commercially available and thus has a long shelf life. You just make your own bromine. A wide variety of organobromine compounds are used in industry. Some are prepared for bromine and others are prepared from halogen bromide, which are obtained from burning hydrogen in bromine air. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.